Thanks for listening to the podcast from Faith Radio Mornings.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings.
Let it rise.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. Phil Arnold here in the big captain's chair. And we are had a very lively discussion with a couple of guys. One was from the Union Gospel Mission, and the other was from Revive Minnesota. And I love the fact that we are joining forces. We're looking for other people to partner with. And if you have a ministry in your town and you think, I wonder if something can be gained by joining forces with another ministry and put your heads together and fellowship together and have a common goal, I think that's a powerful way to live out our lives. And like I was saying earlier in the segment, I think that we maybe have gotten a little bit lazy, and maybe we just don't love the lost enough. And as followers of Jesus, we need to be asking ourselves that question. Do we love the lost enough? Do we feel compassion for them? Or do we see them with a sense of urgency? So we need to show our faith as best we can in action, because people are making observations about us all the time and what we're doing, what we're not doing. And if we really believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, I guess we'll share it with people. And if we really believe in hell, we'll want to tell others about it. tell others about Christ so they can escape it. So that's just a good reminder that we've got marching orders every day when we get up. If we're followers of Jesus, we get to say, hey, I've got an opportunity today, regardless of what I have to do, to share my hope in Christ with others. Because the days go quick, the weeks go quick, the years go quick, and all of a sudden, boom, life is over. There you go. All right. You know, how about this for today? Today is, this has the potential to be a very sweet day. It's National Sticky Bun Day. And people most agree that the sticky bun got its start in the U.S. in the 18th century as German settlers brought their baking traditions from them overseas. I had no idea the sticky bun was a German invention. Did you know that, Rebecca?
I feel like I'm ready to do some cultural observation. I can do this mission I can do.
Yeah, this is an easy one. And here's a Texas-sized blunder. If you heard this story, this is from Fort Worth, a rental home near TCU, Texas Christian University. I went to school there for a year, believe it or not. Was accidentally gutted weeks before it was set to be sold. And various reports say the homeowners thought burglars had destroyed the home. Everything was gone, from appliances to toilets, cabinets, shutters, and even the doorbell. As the Fort Worth police started investigating, the whole thing started coming together. It turns out the crew that went to destroy the home made a mistake on the address and wrecked the wrong home. Hey, Leroy, I think it's one of these. I think it's that one right there. Why don't you just start bulldozing?
What do you do in that context? They came in and they took the wrong toilets.
I don't know. I call my lawyer very quickly.
That's a bad day at work. I'll just say that.
That's a very bad day. It's a very bad day. But so anyway, this morning we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we've got lots of good conversations still coming up. Later on in the hour, we're going to talk to Arlene Pelicane. And Arlene is going to give us some wonderful advice on relationships and keeping relationships fresh and exciting. And I can't wait to hear about that one. Did I say that with a little sarcasm? I didn't think so.
No.
No, I didn't think so. And just when we come back, I'm going to talk to my friend Patrick Albanese on some of the headlines that are in the news today. So we'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for being with us today on Faith Radio Mornings. Be back in a minute.
Finding encouragement together.
You have strengthened me 1,000 times over in my walk with God, and you've empowered me to then extend God's love, mercy, and grace to others who may be hurting, falling in their walk, or who simply just need some encouragement. He's blessed me to give, and as he continues to lead, direct, and challenge me, I will continue to give. Thank you.
Learning, growing, and strengthening our faith together. Faith Radio.
10 minutes after the hour. Good morning, everyone. I'm looking at some of the headlines here from the 24/7 news source that never sleeps. Here's an updated version of President Trump's travel ban might be released as early as today. The Wall Street Journal reports the new executive order will exclude green card holders and was designed to be easier to defend in court. The president's original travel ban has been put on hold after a federal appeals court upheld a Seattle judge's suspension. Ivanka Trump is taking to Twitter to call for religious tolerance. The daughter of President Trump made the plea in response to a new wave of bomb threats against Jewish community centers across the country. She converted to Judaism before marrying her husband, Jared Kushner, who now serves as a top White House advisor. Four American tourists are dead after their small plane crashed into a shopping mall shortly after takeoff from Melbourne, Australia. Authorities say the Australian pilot, who also died in the crash, reported catastrophic engine failure and unsuccessfully tried to return to the airport. The shopping center wasn't open at the time of the crash, and no one on the ground was hurt. I read these stories, and it makes me very sad. A Whittier, California police officer is dead, and a second is wounded after responding to a car crash involving a stolen vehicle. Police say when the officers approached, a man got out of the car and opened fire, killing veteran officer Keith Boyer and injuring his colleague Patrick Hazel. The alleged gunman had only been out of prison for a week and is suspected in another murder. Boy, that is a story I hate hearing about. I mean, just out of prison a week and he's already got another gun in his hand.
Well, and I think it's a reminder that evil is very real in the world. That's one of those things that it can be easy to sort of distract ourselves away from and kind of think, oh, well, we're all decent people and we're all just kind of going about our day. And I may be a little different than you, but we're all kind of, and the reality is, no. I mean, if you take one extended look at the headlines like we just did, there's not a lot of good to be seen there. That's a lot of fallen creation tending toward disorder and wickedness. And that's why we need redemption. That's why I've heard that actually described as one of the biggest lies that we believe, that everybody's basically good and everything is basically just going to work out okay because we're all basically good.
Well, that's a big lie.
That is. But I think sometimes we trick ourselves into believing it. And there is a stark difference between a world without hope and the world as our creator redeems it. And I mean, as scripture says, the whole creation groans just waiting for the coming of Christ. But as you were just mentioning, if we care about the future of this world, about the future of other human beings, then it's our job to spread that message of hope.
Indeed.
And to start, you know, just even conversations with people that God places in your life today. It does no good to keep quiet. If we care about them, we want to talk about things that really matter, about the things that do redeem and the things that bring hope.
I agree. Here's a verse from Psalm 119 that says, "My troubles or afflictions turned out all for the best. They forced me to learn from your word." So there you go. I say we will have trouble today. Trouble is not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And Rebecca, your comment that we are all good, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Can I say that on Radio Pit?
You just did.
Okay, I'm just checking. Just checking. So here's an interesting little news item from Minnesota. Girls attending the prom at Osaka's high school, that district, will need to have their dresses approved by school officials ahead of the event. That's interesting. The school board recently approved the plan, with girls now required to submit a photo of themselves in their dress.
Well, I would imagine they're not excited about it, but that's one standard that I know they can teenage girls can uphold. They will take pictures of themselves in their dress. They could do that.
I think that's probably a no-brainer.
I'm sure that people aren't happy about it, but I could see the both sides of that debate.
And on slightly happier news, the giant panda that was born at the National Zoo in 2013 is leaving Washington, D.C. today. Bao Bao is headed for China under a longstanding agreement with the country. The zoo is closed today for her departure. That's reason enough to close the zoo for Baba, Bobo,
well,
whatever that is.
If you want to see cute pictures, let me just say, young pandas, it's pretty difficult to top that. Like puppies are up there, but also little pandas, if you see pictures of Bao Bao.
Yep, they actually have their own website. How cool is that? I don't even have my own website, and they have theirs. So Bao Bao wins. All right, we'll take a little break when we come back. Lots more news, weather, sports, updates, and other general things that I will make up. It is 15 minutes after the hour. Welcome to your morning. Thanks for being with us. Good morning. Bill Arnold here. We're talking, I just called my friend Patrick Albanese from West Des Moines. Because I wanted to chat about a couple of news items that I saw across my feed today. And this one is one that we'll be talking about forever and ever. And that is how we are communicating less. And the Pope chimed in and said, Patrick, that he wants cell phones not to come to the dinner table. Can you imagine growing up with eight kids at your household?
Yeah.
You guys all sitting on cell phones texting during dinner? Your dad would have killed all of you.
Yeah, my dad was one of the first magicians I ever met. He had an ability from 50 feet away to make his presence felt.
Uh-huh.
You could be misbehaving in a store, and you'd say, I'm pretty darn certain somebody just kind of smacked me on the side of the head. There's nobody nearby, but there's my dad over there in aisle three. Had me.
Yep.
So I imagine if eight of us sat down with cell phones, they would have mysteriously been lifted from our hands and smashed on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we weren't allowed to watch television during dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was Ed Sullivan show. Now that was entirely different.
That's different. Pope Francis was saying, though, and I'll just read what it said, that warning that the lack of face-to-face communication with adults could result in war. Now, here's the question. Are parents good or bad at training their kids how to talk to and respond to adults?
Well, I think they're good if they do that. I also think they're fantastic parents if they hand their kid an iPad and say, you go sit in the corner for a couple hours. Daddy needs some alone time.
Yeah.
I'm only saying that because every now and then, you know, I'm not going to claim that I was one of those parents that said, I will never do those things. I did say the jury's out until I have kids. And then I had kids and I said, you know, it is kind of nice that they can get occupied in something. When we were kids, our folks called it hobbies and said, go, you know, you like magic or you like model trains. Why don't you go down to the basement, play with your model trains for a while? I need some quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I need some quiet. So I don't think that's a bad thing. But if you can't teach your kids some interactive skills with adults, and we're very big on the respectful nature, you know, the kids can't. For instance, they would call you Mr. Bill, which I know has a history with people like us watching old SNL stuff.
It does.
Yeah, but we want them to be respectful, and we want them to acknowledge people. And, in fact, if I bring them to a little, you know, fast food place and they want to go to the counter and order themselves, I won't let them order until they say, hi, how are you today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that, too. You go into a coffee shop, and the guy in front of you will say, give me a latte and a muffin. And I always step up right behind him while he's still there and go, good morning. May I please have?
Yes.
And just like, I don't know, I'm trying to show them that I'm better than he is.
Of course. If I didn't virtue signal, I wouldn't signal at all.
Exactly. There's my point. All right. Here's what Pope Francis also said. He said that dialogue, which brings hearts closer together, is a medicine against violence.
Okay. I'm gonna give him the Pope card on that one.
All right, yeah, he wins.
That's kind of simple to understand, but I wish we lived in a bumper sticker world. And I'm not disagreeing with the Pope at all. It's like, okay, how do we make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, how do you make that coexist bumper sticker happen? You know, I have yet to see, and would love to see, just because I'm curious if they would clash, but. A coexist bumper sticker right next to a Trump-Pence bumper sticker? Because I don't think those two would get along.
You probably are making a good point there.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Pope does say, let's try to talk less and listen more. And I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen. It's the old thing, you know, your mother would say, well, that's why God gave you two ears and just the one mouth. It's like, right. He also gave me one nose, and that still smells, Mom. I don't like the sound of that at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So U.S. officials said, too, ISIS has people in place to conduct steady attacks. How does that rest on your noggin?
Well, it makes me happier and happier. I've gone rural.
Yeah. You're out in the country now.
I'm sort of, you know, I mean, it's where Iowa's the country, you know.
How do you feel, though, about the idea that more and more of these attacks are possible because they have people in place and they say that? How does that make you feel? And for you and your family and their safety?
Concerns me, of course, a lot. And I don't think we can keep our heads in the sands on an issue like this much longer. I mean, why would they make threats like that? They obviously, even if they couldn't carry them out, their whole goal is to terrorize us. And just making that threat makes us go, ooh, maybe I should not go to that Garth Brooks concert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would target that for sure.
Yeah.
Suddenly we're living sheltered lives and we're not spending time with people because we're afraid to go out.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that Bill Gates, for instance, said that he thinks that the biggest threat facing us is bioterrorism, you know, which is, you know, viruses. And of course, I think to myself, well, if anybody knows about viruses, it's the guy who founded Microsoft, you know.
Right.
Expert on those things.
I love the fact that Bill Gates said he wants to spend the rest of his life helping people less fortunate than him. Isn't that just about everybody?
Well, when you're the richest man in the world, that would be, it's like, you got to figure that Warren Buffett calls him up and says, can you spot me a billion?
Yeah.
Just till the weekend.
Yeah. Isn't there talk of him becoming a trillionaire? Come on.
Yeah, they said it would take, something like 100 years, because he's only getting near that $100 billion mark.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you're 10% of the way there. But you know what they say? It's the first $100 billion is the hardest. You know.
They say that. I don't know who says that, but I think it's accurate.
Well, it's those people who say those things.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, I just got my application back to become one of them.
Nice.
I can tell you, that is a thorough application. You have to know a lot of stuff.
You're seriously vetted, aren't you?
Oh, my gosh. You have to, because I wanted to be able to do it so that whenever anybody says to me, you know what they say, I can say, yes, I do. I'm one of them. Let's just end the conversation now. Mm-hmm. I know what they say.
Mm-hmm.
A trillionaire.
Yeah. We were talking earlier in the show. I had some guests in the studio, and they were talking about the problem of homelessness. How do you find homelessness in Des Moines? How serious is it?
You know, you don't see a lot of it. I think it's sort of an underground thing. We had an area near, you know, underneath some bridges, of course, and that tends to be where camps can get set up. You know, one of the difficulties, too, is, you know, what causes the homelessness? Is it mental illness? Is it mm-hmm. just joblessness? You know, there will be people that could easily find a bed in a shelter, but maybe one of the prerequisites to spending the night in the shelter is no alcohol or drugs. And if somebody is having an addiction problem, they're just not going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to turn down the opportunity to have a bed to sleep in. Mm-hmm. So it is a multifaceted problem. I think what bothers me is I say, well, now we're talking about homelessness again, because we talked about it when Reagan was president, and then we talked about it when the elder Bush was president, and then when Bill Clinton was president, it's like homelessness disappeared. Then George Bush became president, and suddenly homelessness, and then Obama becomes president, and he says, well, homelessness, we're not talking about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And now there's another, Republican, for lack of a better term, in the office, and it was like, oh, homelessness. And I'm going, are you guys going back to this thing? It is a real problem. But I noticed that you only focus on it when you can get some political play with it. And that bothers me. If this is a real issue,
it is a real issue. And I think it's great that we're trying to find ways to meet their needs in the street and also try to get them out of their cycles of addiction and into a more productive life, because introducing them to the gospel of Jesus, too. So I'm just curious, because I think of Des Moines, Iowa, as this really kind of calm, safe, little quiet community where you don't have homelessness, but that's not true.
No, and, you know, we like to think of it as, this calm, safe place. But my wife's cousin is with the police department. And a few years back, he handed me some video footage and said, I have to give a presentation on gangs in Iowa. And I was wondering if you could edit this together for me. I said, gangs in Iowa. And then I start going through this raw footage. I said, I call him up. I go, Mike, this isn't really here in Iowa.
Yeah.
These people. He said, yeah. I said,
wow.
I said, do you like that MS-13? Those guys there? He goes, oh, they're here.
Really?
I said, what happened to my delusions of living in a nice, safe place that nothing bad ever happens? I moved here specifically for that delusion. But that stuff does exist everywhere, and
yeah.
Homelessness exists everywhere. And I think, you know, for a lot of us, I'll talk about myself, I kind of know that if I really wanted to look into it, I could drive to certain areas of town and I'd say, there it is, right in front of your face.
Yeah.
But you don't really want to see it, do you?
Yeah. All right, Patrick, we got to jump, but go out and make it a great day. Bring God's name glory in everything you do and say. How about that?
I'll do it.
All right. Awesome. It's 28 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. I'll be right back. Minutes after the hour, if you don't want to glance down at your watch or look at your dash, if you're driving, getting ready to go to work, I hope you're getting yourself in the right mood. You know, this is sacred time in the car. It's you and God and us, and we're trying to just get you to the point where you're getting ready to face your day and do it with strength. We'll take a little break. Be right back. After the hour, good morning. Best-selling author and apologist Lee Strobel reminds us to give ourselves grace when we make mistakes and fall short of God's best.
We still sin, and we wish we didn't, but even the Apostle Paul said, why do I keep doing things that I know I shouldn't do? We still sin, and then we condemn ourselves because we know we shouldn't, we know better, and then we feel like God is kind of turning his back on us, or we're afraid to connect deeply with God because, after all, I should be over the sin by now, or I shouldn't have done that, and yet I did. And I think that understanding that we are works in progress, that it's going to be three steps forward and one step back, and that in this world we're going to have trouble, as Jesus told us we will, and we're not always going to respond in the perfect way, but you know what? We have a perfect Father. And he's the one who will hold us in his hand and draw us close, even in those times when we feel like we fail and we've fallen short, which we have. But you know what? He loves us, and his forgiveness is ever flowing and fresh every morning.
You can find the full interview with Lee Strobel at our website, myfaithradio.com. After a short break, we're going to talk to Arlene Pelletier. Stay with us.
Most parents really do have worthwhile advice to give their teens, but sometimes they mess up in the delivery. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. The key to offering constructive criticism is to deliver your message at the right time, in the right way, and with the right motives. Sound tricky? Well, listen to these tips. First, wait for your teen to ask for your opinion before sharing it. Second, give feedback on their behavior and choices, not their person. And third, make sure your words are intended to meet their needs, not your own. Proverbs 25:11 says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And constructive comments given at the right time, in the right way, and with the right motives can become a powerful tool for helping your teen grow up.
Learn how to argue effectively with a new free download from Mark Gregston. Go to ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
Forty minutes after the hour, it was really nice to hear Lee Strobel talk about giving ourselves grace when we make mistakes. Some days I realize I am uniquely unqualified for most jobs, so it's always an opportunity to give ourselves grace when we need it. This morning is no exception. My guest this morning, Arlene Pelletier, is an author and a speaker and a columnist, and she kind of does it all, marriage and family issues. Arlene, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. As Pelletier, is that a family name?
It is my husband's family name, yes. I went from a Chinese name of Ko to a longer name of Pelletier, but that's okay.
Your maiden name was Ko?
Ko.
How do you spell that?
It was K-H-O, so still a little tricky to look at and then say. But once, you know, you get it, it's like, oh, yeah, that's easy.
Oh, yeah, I could get used to that. I mean, that's easy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's easy. All right, we're going to talk today with you about how to keep romance alive in a marriage.
Yeah, we just came after Valentine's Day, and so for some of you, that was a huge success. For others of you, you're thinking, I guess I could have done that better. Or sometimes it's the flip side. Why didn't my spouse really show up on Valentine's Day? So today is kind of a reminder that you can keep that romance going. And through my book, 31 Days to a Happy Husband, a wife can kind of keep her husband in the foreground because a lot of times he gets relegated, you know, kind of after the dog. So it's kind of good to remember him.
Yeah.
So we can give you some tips on how to keep romance alive.
All right, let's start with tip numero uno. What would you say that is?
This one's kind of the key. So if you get this, you can really see some gains in your marriage. I know marriage can tend to, you get settled, you become companions, you get along, but there's not really this warmth and attraction anymore. It's just we're getting along. And so the first tip I can give you for romance is a 5 to 30 second kiss every day. And most women don't do this because we're afraid that if we kiss our husband for 5 to 30 seconds, that will be some kind of misinterpreted signal that means like, hey, baby, like, let's get to the bedroom and let's have more of this, you know. And so most women, what we do instead is we give no kisses until it is that time. So you have this little talk with your husband and you say, you know what, I want to become more affectionate. I heard it on the radio that, you know, we want to keep the pilot light lit between us. So I'm just going to kiss you just because. More often, and most likely your husband will be like, cool, you know, he's not going to be like, oh, that's really going to throw me off, sister, you know, like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So that's a great way, and a very easy way, just think of it, if you could spend 5 to 10, I'll even give you a break, 5 to 10 seconds every day, really improving your marriage, that's the way to go.
And most guys are thinking right now, I've got to get some mints today.
Yeah, that's right. I got to get ready for this.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
That's a good thought for guys.
Yeah.
The second thing is make the effort to still be attractive to your spouse. And I love what author Willard Harley wrote in his book, His Needs, Her Needs, that by being attractive, he means looking reasonably close to the person that your spouse married. So it's not that you have to go and create this new look, but just put your best foot forward, be the best you that you can be. And many times we take our spouse for granted. We figure, oh, if we go out to coffee with girlfriends, we get all dressed up, but, oh, my husband and I are going to be home all day. Oh, whatever, you know. And so have that attitude of, I still need to put my best foot forward with my spouse because for a man, they're so visual and that really blesses him. So sometimes it means you've had a super long day and you're stumbling in the door and you're like, oh, I have to look attractive for my husband. Are you kidding me? And you just put a smile on your face, maybe a little lipstick on your lips, and you walk through the door.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that you're thinking, how can I be more attractive to my spouse?
Mm-hmm. So what if you make that effort and he walks in the door and doesn't seem to notice?
And that's okay.
Okay.
Because you know what? So much of what you do in marriage, if you do it because, okay, let me see what kind of response I'm going to get from this, right? You get disappointed because it's like, this was not the response at all that I thought I was going to get, and you stop trying because you didn't get the outcome you wanted. So much of marriage is, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you the best way that I can because I know that's the right thing to do before God. And I'm going to trust that all that's going to boomerang back to me and then some. And it will. And it just might not be in the form that you're expecting.
Yeah, so it sounds like making effort is an important part of this whole equation. And that sounds exhausting.
Yes.
Doesn't it sound a little tiring?
But you know what? Putting a smile on your face and putting a little lipstick on for a woman, it's not that big of a deal. So sometimes we make it a big deal.
Okay.
Like, well, that I'm not in the mood for that. How could I be that? Like, you know what? It's
Keep it simple, right? Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, little things.
Smile
little
at the man the first time you see him in the day and just let that be your little to-do from today.
Yeah, and it's a guy. It's a guy. Little things go a long ways with guys.
Right. Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a little break when we come back. The big cliffhanger, because we've got three more to go out of the five tips that you're giving us today from your book, 31 Days to Have a Happy Husband, talking to Arlene Pelican. Good morning, everybody. It's 7:45. We'll be back in just a minute. 47 minutes after the hour. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings, where you're never quite sure what's going to happen. And that goes for me. So we're in this together. I'm talking to Arlene Pelikane. She's written several books. You can go to her website, arlenepelikane.com. P-E-L-L-I-C-A-N-E. Just the way it sounds, Pelikane. Arlene, we're talking about 31 Days to a Happy Husband. And you're offering some very simple tips from the book as to what we can keep in mind. The first one was, you know, figure out ways to give, like, nice little elongated kisses throughout the day and let your spouse know that this is not a move. It's just another sign of affection. And the other one was making an effort to be attractive still, kind of like the person that they sort of married, still try to look like that person. And what's the third one?
Yeah, to keep the romance alive in your marriage, you've got to do fun things together. Most likely when you were dating your spouse, you did fun stuff, whether it was going out to eat, you went mini golfing, you went to the beach, you did things together, and that was fun. And then we tend to get married, and we do bills together and laundry together and kids' soccer games together. You know, it's like, what happened to all the fun that we used to have? So do things on purpose that are fun and find mutual activities that you both like. That's ideal. A lot of times we find mutual activities that one of you likes and one of you doesn't like, thus me on rollerblades, thus me skiing, thus me doing martial arts. But you know what? There is a degree of laughter and hilarity when you're doing something you're not good at with your spouse because you want to be there with your spouse. So I'm not suggesting that you have to do that all the time, but once in a while, get out of your comfort zone to do something fun with your spouse, and you'll have some laughs, and your spouse will appreciate that.
And if you don't have a lot of time, you can speed things up and consolidate activities. You can play mini golf at the beach.
Yeah, exactly. Just everything in one. We've got 15 minutes, babe.
That's right. Let's try to get it all in and pretend we're having a good time. All right. Let's talk about kids, how kids can come in, and they can cause a big distraction when it comes to the romance department.
Yeah, the fourth tip I can give you is don't let your kids extinguish the flame of romance. They are very good at it. No, you can multiply the extinguishing factor by how many children you have or by how young they are. We just got a new puppy this month, and boy, that little puppy, he's extinguishing the flames for sure because he's getting us up two times a night to take him out to the bathroom. So when kids come into the picture and you have more work to do, it's harder to be romantic, but you've just got to think in your mind that the priority relationship in your home is not parent-child. The Bible doesn't say that you will become one flesh with your son, you will become one flesh with your daughter. You're not bonded forever with your children, but you are bonded forever, one flesh, with your spouse. And so this whole idea that, okay, the most important person in the house is the big one, is the one that I'm married to, and how can I still make them the priority? So in your day-to-day activities, even though your children may be taking a lot of your time, when your spouse asks, you know, can you do this for me? I know many of us as wives, we think, are you kidding? Like, you're an adult, do that yourself. But to think, wait a minute, I need to make you part, a big part of my life, and yes, I'd be happy to do that. And as you honor one another, as husband and wife, your kids will see that, and that's really healthy for our family.
How do you, Arlene, how do you separate some of the things that are going on in your children's lives that are so troubling? How do you compartmentalize that to say, all right, let's not think about that, and let's think about romance?
Yeah, and you know, and there, that needs to be said, and there needs to be a place for that. So if you've got a teenager going through something, and then here you are as husband and wife, naturally you're going to talk about that on date night. You're going to be like, what are we going to do? And I think that's fine. And so you're sharing life together, which includes all the struggles your children have. But then you've got to be able to click in and go, okay, we can't spend the whole night, the whole date night, commiserating about our teenager. We've got to have 15 minutes where we just tell each other what we appreciate about each other. Maybe start there. Because when you're going through hard times with your kids, that helps to hear, I'm doing something right, because you feel like you're not doing anything right. So you can start with that verbal praise toward one another and then have that physical affection even when your kids are going through hard things.
What if you're feeling like you're kind of blaming your spouse for some of the issues going on in your kid's life and you have this resentment that's building up?
Yeah, and you need to find a good way to express that, you know, and the Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. And it tells us that love, that truth can be hard, of course, to swallow. You know, iron sharpens iron. Maybe you don't like it when the iron hits you, it might not feel that great. Mm-hmm. But if your intention is with your spouse, I want to share this with you in love because our family needs the help. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I want to share this with you because I'm the better parent and you're the one messing this up. And I can't believe, you know, people get your attitude of why you're sharing something. So if your attitude is humble, soft, and, you know, even sad, you know, I'm really concerned of what's happening. I see you doing this, and I think it makes our child do this. Can we talk about that? I think that's much better than, okay, I noticed that you're always doing that, and I've been reading the books, and that's so wrong, you know. The person's going to, you know, go away from that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, share the things. Be open to correction, both to receive it and to give it.
So, Arlene, when you're doing research and you're talking to couples and you're writing these books, are you asking them, are you getting some input from them as to how they're doing in the romance department as their marriage progresses? Are they truthful? Are they telling you what they would like to believe, or are they really giving you what the skinny is?
Yeah, I interviewed 31 men for 31 Days to a Happy Husband to ask them, what are things that your wife does? What are the things that make you happy? And so these are things that have come out of that. And it is very sweet to see as the couple gets older, the romance changes over the years, and the romance is holding hands as you walk down the street. You know that when you see an elderly couple and they're still holding hands and he's opening the door for her and all these kinds of things, you think, my goodness, that's so very sweet and romantic. It's them doing Bible study in the morning together, because when they were raising kids, they never had time for that. But now that the kids are out of the house, they go, oh, now every morning we have our coffee together and we read the Bible together.
Yeah.
So you see things shift. You know, it's not necessarily like, oh, we've been married for 30 years and now we have this, you know, all passionate. You know, we think romance, we think, oh, it's passion and
right. It's
flowers and it's hot and you're going to a hotel. You know, we think all these things. but it doesn't have to always, you know, obviously it doesn't always look like that. But the romance is to keep attracting one another, to keep pursuing one another, to be interested in one another, and all those sweet things that a husband and wife can do that you can't do with anyone else.
All right, our last point, number 5, nag less, praise more.
Yeah, there's nothing to kill a romance like nagging, you know, like if you feel like, I am not doing well, like who wants to be romantic if you don't feel like success? I have a psychologist friend, David Clark, and I love what he says about how men need verbal respect. And he said, women have a need for this too, but it runs so deep in a man. And lots of women are lousy at it. We get in the habit of praising only when the job is done, how they want it done, when it's done really great. Well, you know, you've got to learn to praise mediocre, praise pretty good, because the guy will stop doing the job if he's not praised. He'll think, it didn't mean much to her, so I can't please her.
Yeah.
So I love what David Clark says here, because for us women, sometimes we're just waiting. Oh, we'll give you the praise when it's really good or just how we want it.
Yeah.
But then otherwise we withhold or we criticize, and instead we have to say, oh, look, the baby's diaper's on backwards, but you tried to do it. That's awesome. Like, thank you for helping me. And now, you know, the pee has shot everywhere because it was backwards, but you know what? You tried to do it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And hopefully this mindset of praises.
Yeah, hopefully you can have fun with that too, and you don't feel like you're being attacked. You're just being playful, and then it's more fun. Arlene, thank you so much for being on the show. We love the tips. And your book is 31 Days to a Happy Husband. You've written other books, too. You can go to arlenepelican.com, find out more about that. Thanks so much for being a guest this morning. 56 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break and be right back on Faith Radio Mornings. Fifty-seven minutes after the hour. Thanks for joining us this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. This spring-like weather has gotten me crazy, and I'm already doing my spring cleaning. And my cleaning philosophy is very simple: the more stuff you leave on the floor, the less vacuuming you have to do. And so I just want to say I try to be accurate 95% of the time. The other 10% is inconsequential. That's what we try to do. That's what I try to do in my everyday. So I hope you have a great day. God bless you and all the things you're going to do today. Give God the glory. Spend time with Him. Try to find a passage that you want to start memorizing. Get the Word of God richly in your heart so it comes out easily. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in all you do. God bless. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this Faith Radio Mornings podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Faith Radio Mornings, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thanks for sharing the audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Faith Radio Mornings.